We're studying the book of Samuel. In our Bible readings, this is class number 31. And we're talking about a king for Israel. But before we go, if I can find a bookmarker here. Before we go to the book of Samuel, the 8th chapter, let's go back to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, chapter number 49. Now, the context of this message here in Genesis is that Jacob is dying on his deathbed. And then Jacob summoned his sons and said, assemble yourselves, that I may tell you what shall befall you in the days to come. Gather together and hear, O sons of Jacob, and listen to Israel your father. Then he begins to go down to his sons. Now on verse number 8, he talks about a king for Israel. God always planned on giving a king to Israel. Israel was just in a hurry. God had a man, and his lineage was very important. His lineage was very important. Judah, your brother shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's son shall bow down to you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He couches, he lies down as a lion, and as a lion who dares to raise him up. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be obedience of the peoples. Now right there in verse number 10, it tells you that Judah, one of Judah's descendants, or Judah's descendants, shall be on the throne of Israel. Right there. And him shall be obedience of the peoples, and he lies. He ties his foal to the vine, and his donkey's colt to the choice vine. He washes his garments in wine, and his robes in the blood of grapes, and his eyes are dull from wine, and his teeth white from milk. And that goes back to Revelation, or forward to Revelation, the 19th chapter. Israel was always supposed to have a king, but Israel was in a hurry to have a king. They said, give us a king to judge us like all the nations. In verse number 5 of the 8th chapter of 1 Samuel. Now, we'll read again chapters 8, verses 6 through 9, and then we're going to go forward. But the thing was displeasing in the sight of Samuel when he said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, listen to the voice of the people in regard to all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. Remember, Israel was under a theocracy. Theocracy means God ruling. God, theos, God ruling. Like all the deeds which they have done since the time I brought them up from the land of Egypt, even to this day. And that they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing so to you. Now listen to their voice, however, and you shall solemnly warn them and tell them of the procedure of the king who will reign over them. Now, we go on to the next verses, number 10. So Samuel spoke all the words of the Lord to the people who had asked of him a king. And he said, this will be the procedure of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and place them for himself in the chariots and among his horsemen. And they will run before his chariots. And he will appoint for himself commanders and thousands and of fifties, and some to do his plowing and to reap his harvest and to make his weapons and war and equipment for his chariots. And he will also take your daughters for perfumers and cooks and bakers. And he will take the best of your fields and your vineyards and your olive groves and give them to his servants. And he will take a tenth part of your seed and of your vineyards and give it to the officers and to his servants. He will take your male servants and your female servants and your best young men and your donkeys and use them for his work. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his servants. Then you will cry out in that day because of your king for whom you have chosen for yourselves, but the Lord will not answer you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to listen to the voice of Samuel, and they said to us, "No, but we shall have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles." Now after Samuel had heard all the words of the people, he repeated to them the Lord's hearing. He told God what they said. Of course, God knew what they said. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to their voice and appoint them a king." So Samuel said to the men of Israel, "Go every man to his own city." And now chapter 9 now. Now there was a man of Benjamin. Now Benjamin is the son that Jacob loved so much. But from Benjamin would not become the ruler. Saul in the New Testament, which became Saul, was a descendant of this tribe. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechorath, the son of Ahaphiah, and the son of a Benjamite, mighty men of valor. And he had a son whose name was Saul. Saul comes from the Hebrew word Sheol. Sheol means the place asked about. Saul means the one asked for. Saul, a choice, elected, a choice and handsome man, and there was no more handsome person than he among the sons of Israel. From his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. He's a tall, handsome man. This is exactly the type of man that they want to be king over them. Now the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. So Kish said to his son Saul, "Take now with you one of the servants and arise and go search for the donkeys." And he passed through all the hill country of Ephraim, and he passed through the land of Shilishah, but they did not find them. And then they passed through the land of Shalim, but they were not there. Then he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they were not there to find them. And when he came to the land of Zuf, Saul said to his servant who was with him, "Come and let us return, lest my father cease to be concerned about the donkeys and become anxious and worried about us." And he said to him, "Behold, now there is a man of God in this city, and the man is held in honor, and all that he says surely comes true. Now let us go there, and perhaps he can tell us about our journey on which we have been sent out." Then Saul said to his servant, "But behold, if we go, what shall we bring to the man? We have to have a gift. For there is the bread is gone from our sack, and there is no present to bring to the man of God. What shall we do? What do we have?" And the servant answered Saul again and said, "Behold, I have in my hand a fourth of a shekel of silver. I will give it to the man of God, and he will tell us our way." Now, formerly in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, he used to say, "Come and let us go to the seer," for he who is called a prophet now was formerly called a seer. Then Saul said to his servant, "Well said, come and let us go." So they went to the city where the man of God was. And we're looking for who? Who are we looking for? Samuel. And they went up to the slope of the city, and they found a young woman going out to draw water, and said to them, "Is there a seer here? Is there a prophet here?" And they answered and said, "He is here, see, he is ahead of you. Hurry now, for he has come to the city today, for the people have a sacrifice on the high place today." And as soon as you enter the city, you will find him before he goes up to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he comes, because he must bless the sacrifice. Afterward, those who are invited will eat. Now therefore, go up, for you will find him there at once. So they went up to the city, and they came into the city, and behold, Samuel was coming out toward them to go up into the high place. Now, a day before Saul's coming, the Lord had revealed this to Samuel, saying, "About this time tomorrow I will send a young man from the land of Midian, and you shall anoint him to be prince over my people Israel. And he shall deliver my people from the hand of the Philistines, for I have regarded my people because their cry has come up to me." Then Samuel saw Saul, and the Lord said to him, "Behold, the man whom I spoke to you, this one shall rule over my people." Now this is not God's choice, but it is man's choice in all reality. But God knew who they would want, so he picked the man that they would want, not the man that he wanted. Then Saul approached Samuel in the gate and said, "Please tell me where the seer's house is." And Samuel answered Saul and said, "I am the seer. Go up before me to the high place, for you shall eat with me today. And in the morning I will let you go and will tell you all that is on your mind. As for your donkeys, which were lost 3 days ago, do not set your mind on them, for they have already been found. And for whom is all this desire that is desirable in Israel? It is not for you and for all of your father's household." And Saul answered and said, "I am not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribe. Am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Why then do you speak to me in this way?" Saul, when God called, when he was first called out to be the king of Israel, was a very humble man. But power and authority destroyed him. And we'll find out that later. Then Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the hall and gave them a place at the head of those who were invited, who were about 30 men. And Samuel said to the cook, "Bring the portion that I gave you, concerning which I said to you, set it aside." He'd already told this. Samuel already knew that he was coming, and he had set a feast for him already, and he had a portion set aside for him already. Then the cook tucked the leg with which what was on it and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, "Here is what has been reserved. Set it before you and eat, because it has been kept for you until the appointed time. Since I have said, I have invited the people." So Saul ate with Samuel that day. And when they came down from the high place into the city, Samuel spoke with Saul on the roof. And they rose early, and they came about at daybreak that Samuel called to Saul on the roof, saying, "Get up, that I may send you away." So Saul arose, and both he and Samuel went out into the street. And as they were going down to the edge of the city, Samuel said to Saul, "Say to the servant that he may go ahead of us and pass on, that you may remain standing now, that I may proclaim the word of the God to you." Chapter number 10. Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, "Has not the Lord anointed you ruler over his inheritance? And when you go from me today, then you will find two men close to Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin of Zelzah. And they will say to you, 'The donkeys which you went to look for have been found. And now behold, your father has ceased to be concerned about the donkeys and is anxious for you, saying, What shall I do about my son?' Then you go on further from there, and you will come up as far as the oak of Tabor. And there three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you, one carrying three kids, and another carrying three loaves of bread, another carrying a jug of wine," literally a skin of wine, what it says, and they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you will accept from their hand. And after you will come to the hill of Gob, where the Philistines' garrison is, and it shall be as soon as you have come up here to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with a harp, tambourine, flute, and a lyre. And before them they will be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you mightily, and you shall prophesy with them and be changed into another man. Now it shall be, when these signs come to you, do for yourself what the occasion requires of God is it with you. Do whatever your hand finds, he says, but God is with you. And you shall go down before me to Gilgal. And behold, I will come down to you, and I will and offer burnt offerings and sacrifice peace offerings, and you shall wait 7 days until I come to you and show you what you shall do. Then it happened about, when he turned his back to leave Samuel, God changed his heart, and all those signs came about on that day. When they came to the hill there, behold, a group of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him mightily, so that he prophesied among them. And it came about, when all that he knew him previously saw that he prophesied now with the prophets, that the people said to one another, "What has happened to the son of Kish? Saul is also among the prophets." And a man there answered and said, "Now, who is their father?" Therefore it became a proverb, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" When he had finished prophesying, he came to the high place. Now, it doesn't say much of what Saul prophesied. Now, Saul's uncle said to him and his servant, "Where do we go? Or where did you go?" And he said, "To look for the donkeys." And when he saw that, he could not be found when he went to Samuel. And Saul's uncle said, "Please tell me what Samuel said to you." So Saul said to his uncle, "He told us plainly that the donkeys had been found, and did not tell him about the matter of the kingdom which Samuel had mentioned." Therefore Samuel called the people together to the Lord at Mizpah. And he said to the sons of Israel, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought Israel up from Egypt, and I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians, and from the power of the kingdoms that were opposing and oppressing you. But you did this day reject your God, who delivers you from all your calamities and your distresses, and yet you have said, 'No, but set a king over us.' Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your clans." Thus Samuel brought all the tribes of Israel near, and the tribe of Benjamin was taken by lot. And then he brought the tribe of Benjamin near to his families, nearby its families, and the Matrite family was taken. And Saul, the son of Kish, was taken, but when they looked for him, he could not be found. They looked for Saul, and he could not be found. And therefore they jumped, or inquired further of the Lord, "Has the man come here yet?" So the Lord said, "Behold, he is hiding himself by the baggage." By all of the baggage, by all of the commerce, he's hiding. He's hiding. He's a very, very humble man. And he's afraid. So they ran and took him from there, and they stood among the people. And he was taller than any of the people from his shoulders upwards. And Samuel said to all the people, "Do you not see him whom the Lord has chosen? Surely there is no one like him among all the people." So all the people shouted and said, "Long live the king." Then Samuel took the people, the ordinance of the kingdom, and wrote them in the book, and placed it before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, each one to his own house. And Saul also went to his own house at Gibeah. and the valiant men whose hearts God had touched went with him. But certain worthless men said, "How can this one deliver us?" And they despised him, did not bring him any present. But he kept silent. Now, Nahash, the Amorite, came up and besieged Jabesh-Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said to Nahash, "Make a covenant with us, and we will serve you." And Nahash the Amorite said to them, "I will make it with you on this condition, that I will gouge out the right eye of every one of you, and thus I will make you a reproach in all of Israel." Anyone that was disabled or disfigured was considered to be cursed of God. And the elder Jabesh said to him, "Let us alone for 7 days, that we may send a messenger throughout the territory of Israel. Then, if there is no one to deliver us, we will come out to you, and we will let you poke your eyes out." Then the messenger came to Gibeah of Saul, and spoke these words in the hearing of the people, and all the people lifted up their voices and wept. Now, the reason why they wanted to knock out their right eyes is that was their eye that they threw stones with and that they shot bow and arrow with. That was their dominant eyes. Most of them was right-handed. Now, if old Saul was coming up from the field behind the oxen, and he said, "What is the matter that the people, that they weep?" And so they related to him the words of the men of Jabesh. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul mightily, and he heard these words, and he became very angry. And he took the yoke of oxen and cut them in pieces. And he sent them throughout the territory of Israel by the hand of the messenger, saying, "Whoever does not come out after Saul, after Samuel, so shall it be done to his oxen." Then the dread of the Lord fell upon the people, and they came out one by one. They came out as one man also. And he numbered them, and Bezek and the sons of Israel were 300,000, and the men of Judah 30,000. And they said to the messenger who had come, "Thus you shall say to the men of Jabesh-Gilead, tomorrow, by the time the sun is hot, you shall have deliverance." So the messengers went and told the men of Jabesh, and they were glad. Then the men of Jabesh said, "Tomorrow we will come out to you, that you may do to us whatever seems good to you." And it happened the next morning that Saul put the people in three companies, and they came into the midst of the camp at the morning, and they struck down the Amorites until the heat of the day. And it came about that those who survived were scattered, so that not two of them were left together. Then the people said to Saul, "Who is he that said, 'Shall Saul reign over us?' Bring the men, that we may put them to death." But Saul said, "Not a man shall be put to death this day, for today the Lord has accomplished a deliverance in Israel." Then Samuel said to the people, "Come and let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there." And so all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. And there they also offered sacrifices and peace offerings before the Lord. And there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. What a story. Mm-hmm. Everything starts out real good, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And then we find out that Saul becomes a different man. Saul was among the prophets of God. Saul prophesied, the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied, and they believed. They said, "Is Saul among the prophets? Are the sons of Benjamin among the prophets?" I pray that this message goes out, and each and every one of you out there all over the world that listen to these messages, God has a job for all of you. Put your hand to it with all your might, as he told Saul. Let God have his free reign in your life, and you will be happier by doing that. Our Father, we send this message out to honor and glorify you. And Father, please forgive me where I fail you. And use your word and touch your students' hearts and lives with it, wherever they are throughout the world. And I pray for those all that were victims of the tsunami. And I have a lot of students in those areas that I pray that you protect them and touch their hearts and their lives. Gary Max and all the students in the Philippines, pray for their protection from the Solomon Islands also. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.